This is BPN Radio, your 24-hour internet prayer station, calling America to pray. It's time now for the Christian War Room with your host, Michael Schonborn. Now, here's Michael.
Thank you, Dave, for this introduction, and welcome to the Christian War Room. And so we're going to look today at probably one of the more interesting subjects, and it's today real warfare. Not just history, not just the need for a war room, but it's about real warfare. That is, what you do. Okay, quickly, just to, in case you've never listened to the series and you just tune in and you hear about this, the Bible talks to us about Christian warfare. It talks to us about warfare, which means we need to overcome the enemy. And the enemy is not made of flesh and blood, and we are not using weapons against flesh and blood, but we are using weapons against spiritual principalities, against the powers of the air. That's the terminology used in the Bible. Who are there, out there to try and deceive man and to get man into hell. So it is a war of words, it is a war of knowledge, it is a war to tear down any stronghold, anything that lifts itself up against the knowledge of the living God, the knowledge of God. So that's really what the war room is all about, and that's what we are trying to achieve here. So today we're going to talk about the blueprint. Okay, now a blueprint is, just to explain what it is, and then I'll explain to you where I've come across this before in my professional career, and then we're going to look at how we can use it within a Christian context. Now, a blueprint is a plan of something you build up. Yeah. So, for example, you've got an engine, for example. You would have a blueprint of all the different parts and components of how they all fit together. You've got a house, and you build a house. Again, you create a blueprint to plan something for the architect, or the architect will do the planning, but for the house builders to know what to build and how to build it and what the distances are, and all the relevant data is on there. Now, where do I come in? I used to teach ethical hacking, which is basically looking at how networks, how computer networks are getting hacked. And I was looking at it from the offensive point of view. How would I take a company's network down and cause maximum disruption or steal all the data they have without them even realizing that it's been happening? And that is the big question. How do you do this? Yeah, and then there's a lot of there's a lot of myth about this where people think, you've got this magic hacker and he knows everything and so on. And it's actually quite a difficult stage of doing this because as time goes on and as systems are more and more reliant on IT, so the defenses go up as well. And so the hacker has got to look for new avenues to try and outwit technology, to still look for little holes here and there to try and get in and get the information you try to get. And anyway, so the big advantage is that a lot of people don't understand IT systems and they've got no concept of security. So a hacker can make use of this lack of knowledge and lack of understanding. And so it's possible to obtain sensitive information and then based on the sensitive information to try and compromise systems. How far you can go and what you can do, there are always limits there, but also depends on how determined you are to sort of crack into a situation. So the starting point from any attempt to hack into a network, and this is what I used to teach about, is where you just sit down in a big room. So you've got your group of hackers, and if they are professionals or they might be cyber soldiers, maybe, possibly. So what you do is you sit down and you start gathering intelligence. And that's all you do for some time. And that's pretty much about 90% of the operation. That's what I used to teach. About 90% of the operation is just collecting data, just collecting stuff, whether it's relevant or not relevant. You just do this. And you've got a bunch of tools, software tools, hardware tools to do this. And so you've got this big whiteboard somewhere, And every piece of information you gather, so what software are they using, the names of the people, the email addresses of the people. So you will be looking at the software you can identify on the laptops, you know, the company laptops they're using. You will be looking at software which is used in the company based on, you know, just visiting the premises and just overlooking the computers, going to the pubs where the people hang out, you know, who work for a particular company, and just listening in to what they have to say and see whether you can work out they're using software, you know, dropping software packages and trying to engage people into a conversation. Things like that, yeah? So you try to figure out the software these guys are using. And then depending on, you know, on what line of business they're in, etc. And even that, you know, you just find it out. And another avenue is you find everything out about their suppliers. So you try to find out who they work with, who their suppliers are. You find out about the branches the company has. And is a company owned by another company, or does a company own other companies? So you collect all this information. You collect, you know, the cars people are driving. You collect the information on how many people are working there. You look at their ID badges. You try to find out the naming convention. You know, is the login name the same as the name they use for the email address? What naming convention do they have in the company? So you then go further. You look at social networks. Once you've got names, you try to figure out who is doing what. You see whether you can fake accounts and lure people into giving you access to social networks using fake accounts. And then once you're in these social networks, you try to retrieve as much information you can. And all this information is going to be put onto this big whiteboard. And you just put it on and on and on. You look at Wi-Fi access. You look at, are there any apps these people are using? Would there be any chance in developing a dodgy app that's very similar to try and lure them in? Can you do a Wi-Fi redirect? Can you crack into the Wi-Fi? What is the type of authentication they're using? Is it hardware? Is it software? And so, again, you build up a profile of the whole company, anything to do with software, anything to do with IT, and then anything else you can get hold of about this company, about the products, the people, the social networks, the groups, the accounts, the clients as well, the customers. And then you sort of build up this big picture and you find out who these people are. Yeah. Find out everything about the IT department as well. You know, who are those people in the IT department? And then once you've got all this information, then you look at what tools can I use to try and crack in. So if they use a particular software and there are vulnerabilities available for this software, you can then start running an attack using a certain vulnerability. And that is pretty much the whole hacking cycle. It's very dynamic. The way I was quite active within this community is about, it's coming up to about maybe 6-7 years now. And I'm 6-7 years out of it. So I've lost a lot of, I've lost touch quite a bit, but, the principles are still the same. It wouldn't take me a long time to get back into it. And the important is to understand how it's done and to be aware of creating a strategy to try and compromise, in this instance, a company for the purposes of disrupting the business activities of this company, which obviously is illegal. You don't do this. But again, I wasn't doing it. I was just teaching how it's done so that people could try and defend themselves against it being done to them. And look for loopholes and vulnerabilities themselves. Yeah. And the other one is to just steal data. Yeah. So you can then get the data, sell it to the competitor, or maybe you are the competitor and you need to have certain data and without them realizing it. The hack itself then is, once you've got this big whiteboard, and we went through a couple of exercises in my time where we just looked at how far can you push it and what can you do to do something like that, and once you do the footprint, The footprinting, that's what it's called, footprinting, and you create this blueprint. It almost stares you in the face of what you can do and what lends itself very easily to be done to try and achieve your aim and to try and compromise a target. And then the attack itself would just be a matter of minutes. And you do it from a vantage point so that you cannot be tracked back. And that's it, you know. You're either in or you're not in. It either worked or it didn't. And if it didn't work, you just try a different angle. And you try a different way of doing the same thing or trying to achieve the same thing using a different method. Okay, how does this work with the gospel? You know? Again, just to remind you of the scripture, we are advised to be as cunning as snakes, but without fault or without flaw as doves. Yeah, as innocent as doves. So that is what we are charged to be. So we need to find out what, obviously we know what is on our heart, which is a target group. What could it be? You know, where do I try to penetrate? Is it the youngsters? Is it the youth in my church? Is it my children, my own children? Is it a, you know, a gangland culture where you live that things have gone really, really bad and you try to penetrate a group of culprits, of gang members? Or is it an ethnic group you try to reach out to? Is it a little tribe somewhere in the Amazons which has not been reached and you found out they are now getting on the internet or something and there's a chance that you can do it remotely or try to get into this group remotely? Is it... I don't know, it could be the local goldfish club, yeah, where you've got some interest and you feel you've got the burden to share the gospel with the people in this club. Now, how can I use this? The principles are very, very simple. You just need to get maybe a big sheet of paper and then try and find out everything you can find out about these people. I'll give you one story. There was a pastor, and I heard this story many, many years ago. And his wife used to go to the church, there was a pastor, and there was a woman who went to the church, and she was married to a guy who didn't want to know about Jesus, and the wife was really suffering. She really, obviously, naturally, she wanted him to know about Jesus and to do this, and it was a big burden on her heart. And anyway, the pastor shared this burden, and he caught the vision. And what he did is he started talking to this woman, and she tried to find out what the husband is all about. Yeah, and then he found out that he had a hobby. I'm not sure what the hobby was. I don't remember. It's like 30 years ago when I heard the story. So what he did is he learned everything about this hobby. I don't know whether that was football or fishing or whatever, but he learned everything about it and he sort of tried to get involved with this. And then once he felt he was ready, he asked the wife, of this guy to be invited over to her house so he could meet the husband. And so he met the husband and they started talking And I mean, as the pastor was talking about this hobby and they were talking shop all the time, you know, her husband, his eyes lit up and he thought, this guy is really, really interesting. He's not, you know, one of these stuffy old priests or whatever. And he said, look, you know, you've given me such a great time. I'm going to come to your church and I'm going to see what the other thing is you're doing, what it's all about. And he came to church and the man became a Christian. You know, he gave his life to Christ. He opened up and he gave his life to Christ. And this pastor could reach out to him in a way his wife couldn't. Or the wife of this man couldn't. And that's sometimes the key, that we need to find out what makes people tick in order to reach out to them. And that's maybe sometimes be that thing, you know, this intelligence gathering phase where you sit down, you've got a big piece of paper. God has given you a commission. He has shown you, I want you to reach out to these people, or I want you to do this or do something else or prepare this or whatever it may be. It may not be, it may be supportive. It may not be directly evangelizing. It may be supporting evangelists. It may be strengthening disciples, you know, as they come to Christ. There's a big problem as well that people come to Christ and, you know, they come in the door, they walk out the door, and that's the end of it, where people are not getting discipled and they're not getting fed with the Word of God. And that is a big issue as well. And it might be something like this, but what you need to do is you need to have somewhere where you can order your thoughts and you can work out what is really going on with the target you are dealing with, yeah? The group of people or the concept. I mean, it might just be that you are fighting against a particular concept, maybe a cult, or we're going to look at all the different stuff, all the different things where we need to go against with. Or maybe you've got a group of feminists who have gone a little bit off the rails and have gone to an extreme, and you need to present arguments to bring and draw them back into reason to oppose what they come up with. Or the biggie at the moment is this whole transgenderism. Logic says, you know, if you've got a couple of trillion cells in your body who say that you are a woman or a man, that you should behave like a woman or like a man. No, this world is giving you a completely different story. They tell you, oh, no, if you've got like a trillion Y chromosomes, but your head tells you you're a woman, we need to mutilate your body, make you look like a woman and dress like a woman, and then you can live like a woman. Doesn't make any sense. Doesn't make any sense whatsoever. But that is the mantra which is piped on the media. And maybe it's time for somebody to rise up and to just look at all the evidence that suggests it's a lot more sensible, you know, to get people to accept their bodies the way they are and to embrace whatever they've been given as something great and beautiful and something to be, you know, aspirational, you know, something good to be aspired. And again, this is not much which is done these days. I've had a look with some of the, Christians on, went to some conference where this was discussed, leadership conference for churches here in England. And what are we doing with people, you know, who have been caught up with this situation and they come to our churches? How do we deal with them? And again, the consensus was, first thing is, we need to deal with identity, you know. Their identity is not transgender, gay, lesbian, or whatever. Their identity is they are Mark, Gabi, John, Ruth, or whatever the name is, okay? That is what they are. Yeah? And the rest is all secondary. And that is important to go away, to come away from identity being a label that's printed on people, that there are something, and then they have to be defensive about that identity, and they have to carry this identity come what may. So, I mean, that was one of the things which came out from that, but I'm sort of digressing a bit. I'm going a little bit off a tangent. The point I'm making is there are so many problems these days, and there are probably more issues we are dealing with in our generation than in any other generation before. And it's time for you to ask God, you know, whether there is something particular you should zoom into and you should do some work within a certain area. Bearing in mind that times are running to an end, Jesus is coming back soon, and that is happening within this generation. There's no doubt about it. And we need to snatch as many people as possible away from the gates of hell and let them know that Jesus is real, that he is alive, and give them a healthy alternative consisting of the truth compared to what the world is feeding these people, which is most of the stuff when you go through the media is just pure toxins people are fed with on a daily basis. Okay, so once you've got your war plan and your document, you can then sort of look at tools of attack. And again, yesterday I was talking about your war computer, and you could use this for your tools of attack. So you could then, for example, pull together a collection of videos, a collection of audio materials. You could create your own videos, your own audio. You could interview people, you know, who have been through a particular thing. And that's always very, very powerful. I saw once an interview of somebody who's been through this whole transgender stuff, became a Christian, and then realized what was happening, you know, that he was really deceived by these doctors and these people who were just leading him pretty much up the garden path. And at the end of it, he was just a very broken human being, pretty much abused in a way he never imagined, where, it's been cut, operated upon, and all the rest of it. And he was quite interesting to talk to him and to see, what he went through. And the whole thing, unfortunately, I've just seen an article. No, I've seen a film. I didn't save it, so I don't know where it is. But there is some stuff out there. And again, there are lots of other areas as well where you can get lots and lots of materials. All you need to do is pull them all together and then have your, strategy of what you can do. Again, what can you do, and which way can you do? I mean, there's number one is there's so much confusion out there, and there are good strong churches out there as well, big youth, and the problem is the world is just trying to get hold of our youth and trying to shape their thinking, and they're very good at it. So we need to oppose this. And one idea might be to just arrange events, fun events around certain things, and do something, education. I call it education through stealth, where you've got a bit of a party time, you watch a couple of films, you've got a little bit of a discussion at the end of it, and then you send them back home. And in that way, you can counteract and counterbalance secular education, which is piped through the educational systems, piped through the media, the public broadcasting channels, and where our youth is indoctrinated and brainwashed from, basically being little. And we need to, have a movement that opposes whatever's happening to our kids. Again, churches are ideal venues for that. We've got data projectors. We can run films. Very often churches these days, we've got kitchens and other stuff as well. And it's something where everybody can, or a lot of people can pull behind, and where you can have some fun events, which, can go beyond the church as well. So it's something we should look into, something we should consider, and something which would make quite a big of difference in our communities as well. Okay, the blueprint, the strategy, shaping and creating strategies, and coming to a point where we can move on and fight strongholds which have been created all over the place and all over the place around us. Okay, let me just sum up. We've got about 2 minutes. So today we were talking about creating a blueprint. Yeah? And that means it's just a strategy. It's just a little tool to try and find out how you can tackle a problem. And that means you get a big piece of cardboard, a big piece of paper, or you use a whiteboard if you've got one available. And you zoom into a project. You zoom into your target. And you take every piece of information you can think of and you can find. And you write it on this whiteboard, and you put little bubbles around it, or maybe, one thing links to another, you put little arrows and so on. But every piece of information on your target, you pull it all together. Once you've done it all, you try to identify how can you oppose this particular stronghold, yeah? What can you do? How can you crack into it? So it might be an idea, it might be a concept, it might be a group of people, you try to reach out to. It might be an ideology, a cult, something like that. Once you've done this, you then try to look for tools you can make use of to penetrate your target, whatever it is. And so these tools, they could be digital tools, they could be social tools, they could be social networking access or sites or something. There could be just outreach tools, there could be all sorts of stuff here. So it's a little bit like, I think the term is brainstorming session, which I'm told is politically incorrect now to use. But you just think about what can I do to try and get the gospel to these people, and how can I achieve this? And again, you take you then put all this stuff down on your whiteboard, and then when it's all done, when it's all finished, and it could just be an exercise that takes a couple of hours, it takes a couple of days, maybe a couple of weeks, where you get all the information together. It could be an ongoing thing. You then launch your attack, and then at the end of it, you evaluate your attack. So you might have a means to reach out. It might just consist of distributing some tracts in a certain area or giving away some USB sticks with relevant videos on it, which discuss a certain issue. And then you try and evaluate what is going on and what's been happening. Let me just put the last bit on, and it's one thing I've seen in a Christian school. And they had a very, very interesting thing, and they had a whiteboard, and they put prayer requests on the whiteboard, or some magnet board, I think it was. And so what they did is say, every day they asked the kids, you know, whether they had any prayer requests, and then kids would say, yeah, I've got one. And then they prayed about this, and then they also ask every day, you know, have any prayers been answered? And then they said, yes, it's been answered, that's been answered. And then they put the prayer from the section of where they were, and they put them to the section of answered prayers. And what you find is, you know, on this whiteboard, on this magnetic board they had, the section with the answered prayers was really full. There was tons and tons and tons of stuff on there. And the unanswered prayer, there were just like two or three and something like that there. And that is a faith-building exercise, you know, where you can just learn, even from being little, that God hears prayer, and that if God leads you in a certain way, in a strategy, and very often we forget about all the answers we have received for our prayers, that you know, things really happen and things really get through. And also when we approach this stuff with an attitude of faith and prayer, and maybe a little bit of a prophetic attitude as well, where we get driven through the Spirit of God to tackle a certain issue, we can be assured that things will take place and things will happen, and we can even expect the miraculous to take place, you know, that the, you know, the unexpected will kick in, and all we need to do is just kick it off and then set the ball rolling, and suddenly, you know, great things are happening. And then we should put this on this magic whiteboard as well and let everybody know, you know, God is real and God is in on it, and things are happening indeed. Okay, we've got just a couple of minutes left. I just want to encourage you to really go for it. Create your own war room. Make it a big thing in your church and get the youth involved. Maybe get the old people involved as well, or anybody else, you know, when people have got some time. And work on some projects for the glory of God to get the gospel out to those who do not know the gospel, to those who are about, you know, to face eternity in hell. We need to catch them away from that. Okay, Lord, I want to thank you for this whole war room concept, and I pray for our listeners that you will inspire our listeners for the targets they are supposed to go for, and Lord, that you will give them ideas of how to reach out to people and to, you know, move the gospel right into their lives, that they can see with their eyes and hear with their ears and respond with their hearts to your calling, so that they will come to an understanding and to the knowledge of the truth. Lord, I pray for your mercy in this area. Give us wisdom, give us understanding, and lead us into this warfare, so that we can do the jobs you have given us to do. So that one day when we come to our mansions, that there will be mansions that are good indeed, and that there will be mansions full of gifts, of stuff we may have earned here on earth. But Lord, I pray, Lord, give us a heart more than a heavenly greed. Let us have a heart for the lost souls, and drive us by the love of God to reach out to these people, Lord, who are on their way to damnation. I pray for that in Jesus' name. Amen.
For the past half hour, you've been listening to the Christian War Room with host Michael Sean Bourne. For more information on how you can participate or find out more about the Christian War Room, simply go to ChristianWarRoom.com. That's ChristianWarRoom.com.